Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, John, Josh, and Nick on this rainy Wednesday. Don't forget, Dumb Debates is coming up in just a few minutes, and right after that, it's going to be Mitch Sherman.
And unsportsmanlike content.
We already did that. Well, last week, our next guest, he does his annual list, his ranking of the top coaches in the Power Five. He ranks them all, 1 through 65. And boy, were there some folks going, well, where's Scott Frost?
Scrolling.
They went scrolling.
Actually, it's reverse
ways.
Order, so you don't have to really scroll that far, honestly, to get to Scott Frost's name because he's near the bottom.
Yeah.
Which in reverse order means near the top.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't very good. In fact, the exact number was 53. I just pulled up the list, which was last among all Big Ten football coaches. Well, here to explain himself is Tom Fornell of CBS Sports. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Not bad. When you assembled the list, did you realize in the moment that you did have Scott Frost last among Big Ten coaches?
Yeah, I did notice he was last, but I want to be clear. It's not just my list. I'm one of about 12 different voters.
That is fair. That's fair. But you're the one that puts your name on the story byline.
so everyone can yell at you.
So you get all the credit.
Yeah, so I'm the one who gets yelled at. It's a very fair trade-off in that, you know, in this industry, when you write online, like, they look at you, when it comes to contract time, they look at the page views. And this is definitely one of those posts that gets a lot of page views. So it's one of those trades where it's like, yeah, sure, I will gladly take getting yelled at by a lot of people to keep my career going. That is perfectly okay with me.
Tom, you wrote about him, you know, having him 53rd. You wrote, when Frost came to Nebraska fresh off a 13-0 mark at UCF, he was ranked highly because of it. He's fallen every season since. I looked up the other numbers this morning. 21st in 2018, 25th, then 34th, 47th last year before 53rd this year. Can you remember in this exercise that you guys have been doing for at least a half decade, can you remember a head coach that has dropped like Scott Frost has over the last five rankings?
No, and one of the reasons for it is typically, like, you see the way turnover happens. Like, coaches generally don't get to last that long before, you know, it's like you don't see a coach fall for five straight seasons, because typically if they're going in that direction where it's the fifth straight year we're going to go down, they tend to get the axe before that. I mean, we've seen, like, coaches get fired halfway through their second season at this point, whether you're looking at Florida State at Willie Taggart a few years ago, Arkansas with Chad Morris. So Scott Frost, it's like he's in one of those kind of peculiar positions where it's like we know that he's entering this season clearly on a hot seat because that he hasn't won as many games. He hasn't won nearly enough games as far as what Nebraska was expecting when they get there. So, no, there aren't many examples of coaches that have fallen like this. But I will say one similar example is Jim Harbaugh, who – when he first got the Michigan job, when he came back from the NFL and we first started doing these rankings, he was rated really high. Now, he got off to a good start at Michigan, so he didn't, like, drop every single year. But after his second year, like, when he kept getting killed by Ohio State, he started slipping a little bit in our panelists in the way that we ranked him. And it's not the kind of steep drop that Frost has taken, but he was dropping to where he was going from top 10 to more in the top 20, and then even kind of flirting with falling out of the top 25 altogether, obviously before last season, winning the Big Ten, getting to the playoff, and rocketing back up the rankings. So I feel like he has a lot in common with Jim Harbaugh from that perspective, and then you look at the fact that last year Harbaugh took the pay cut as a way to stay at Michigan, and then we've seen Scott Frost take somewhat of a pay cut with bonuses and incentives to win games to, you know, kind of keep his job at Nebraska for another year.
Tom Fornelli, CBSSports.com, joining us. His top 25, actually it's all 65 Power 5 coaches rankings, came out last week on CBSSports.com. Like you mentioned, it's kind of rare to see a coach fall at this type of rate because they usually don't get a chance after this many seasons to fall that off. Usually once they've started falling, their job is done. Someone else has taken over. But Conversely, if Frost is able to pull the nose up and have success at Nebraska, will it look like one of the more improbable comebacks from such a disastrous start that you can remember?
I mean, you don't really, like, I felt like going back to Harbaugh, last year was one of those things where you feel like once you get to that point where there's enough of a track record of a coach at a school where it's just not working, like, the odds of things turning around at that point, you feel like have to be pretty slim because you tend to be what you are after a while. So to see last year Michigan take that giant step forward, win the Big Ten, get to the playoff, that was an anomaly. And it'll be really interesting to see what Jim Harbaugh does this year. You know, maybe Ohio State kind of cycles back up as it gets its defense fixed. You know, they hired Jim Knowles to be the defensive coordinator. So if Frost is able to follow that same path, it would be a surprise. But at the same time, like, I've joked all last season, like, and it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's also 100% true. That was the best three-win team of all time. Nebraska went 3-9 last year, but it was not a 3-9 team. If you go through the schedule and you go through, like, the numbers that are more indicative of how a team is performing and how a team is to continue performing, last year's Nebraska team was probably a 5-7 or a 6-6 team. It lost a lot of close games against some very good teams, teams that finished high in the rankings. So if Nebraska kind of makes that leap going from 3-9 last year, whether like 6-6 or 7-5 this year, yeah, in the standings, that's going to be a 3 or 4 win improvement. But I think that as far as the performance of the team, they might have been the exact same team they were last year. They just caught a few more breaks or didn't make as many, you know, back-breaking mistakes that cost them games against good teams, the kind of stuff that you can't do. So it's a really interesting situation for me, Nebraska, in 2022, because obviously there's been changes. There's the new offensive coordinator. The quarterback has changed. They've been very active in the transfer portal, and the transfer portal is one of those things now where, like, you look at an example of Mel Tucker at Michigan State last year, where he brought in a couple of transfers, and he hit grand slams in all of them. You know, Kenneth Walker became one of the best running backs in the country. Guys that he had in other spots all had terrific years. Michigan State takes a huge leap forward. And now, like, a lot of fan bases look at that and say, well, that's easy. We just have to go to the transfer portal, and everything's going to be great. We'll just replace everybody. And that might happen, but it also might just be a situation where there's a lot of new faces, a lot of, you know, learning new roles under new coaches, and maybe it doesn't click. So Nebraska, to me, Scott Frost, his situation, his standing with the job, and the program in general, where it's been the last few years with the turnover that we have seen, to me, going into the 2022 season, it is one of the more fascinating cases that I'm going to be watching just because I want to see what happens, because I truly don't have any idea.
Tom, speaking of fascinating cases, I want to look at the coach that you guys had ranked number 6, and that is Ryan Day. Only dropped a couple of spots from 4th. We had some fun with it last week because I'll admit, like, I'm pretty intrigued by him as he enters year 4. Like, I still think he's a really good coach, and I'm going to pick Ohio State most likely to win the Big Ten Conference. But we have also seen, you know, many coaches over the years that have had a lot of early success with their predecessors, recruits, and players, and maybe signs that things are falling off. Last year, the first 2-loss regular season that Ohio State had, I believe, since 2017. It doesn't happen a whole lot. Like, are you as intrigued by Ryan Day in year 4 as I am?
Oh, very much. Because this is, like, one of the things with Ryan Day when he took over the job, like, when we were doing these rankings, I was, like, for the first 3 years, I was the low man on Ryan Day in my rankings of all our voters every single season because I was taking the approach of, well, taking over a really good team and a really good program that Urban Meyer did a lot of work to build. And yeah, they're winning a ton of games, but he hasn't had to maintain anything. And I think, honestly, you know, you mentioned they lost 2 games last year. You look at his overall record, it's still ridiculous. Mm-hmm. 34-4 in 3 seasons. You can't, the record is what it is. But there have been signs of slippage each of the last 2 years because what Urban Meyer did when he took over this program, the offense was great, the defense was great. The special teams were great. Ryan Day and his staff, post-Urban Meyer, have done a terrific job still recruiting on the offensive side of the ball. They've done a good job recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. The problem is they're not developing on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that with Kerry Coombs as their defensive coordinator the last few years, they were kind of in a situation similar to where Harbaugh was at Michigan with Don Brown, where the scheme was just obsolete. And they weren't doing anything to fix it. And they just thought, well, you know what, we're so good on offense, we will be able to win the Big Ten. And they had been, but when you don't have the top defense and you look around like at the teams that are competing for national titles, when you play other elite teams, that suddenly becomes your weakness. That's why you struggled to beat Clemson in the playoff. That's why you struggled to beat Oregon. That's why that's why Michigan ran right over you, because you couldn't stop them. So for me, I think that is going to be the one key thing that I'm watching with Ryan Day. They made the change to Jim Knowles. They brought him from Oklahoma State. He did a wonderful job with that Oklahoma State defense. So I think that that is a good sign if I'm an Ohio State fan looking at Ryan Day, is that, okay, he diagnosed a problem. He recognized it, and now he's trying to fix it. And a lot of coaches never see the problem. They just think, well, you know what? I could just keep calling great plays and developing quarterbacks, and I'll just win games 45-38 if I have to. We'll be fine. And we see them fall on their face trying to do that. They get stubborn. They aren't willing to, they aren't willing to admit their faults. I think Ryan Day is seeing, I've got a fault. I need to address it. I need to get my defense fixed if I want to win national titles and maintain. So that's what I'm watching this year with the Buckeyes.
Tom Fornelli joining us from CBS Sports. How have you interpreted the noise coming out of the SEC this week, some of the stories that have suggested that they might look at their own playoff?
It's a silly thing to me, honestly. Like first of all, they already have their playoff. It's called the regular season. Like, you play 8 conference games, and then at the end of it, the teams with the 2 best records play in the championship. Boom. Okay, there. It's a playoff. But I think that as far as long-term, they're talking about Texas and Oklahoma coming in, and that's why. They're considering everything, and I think that is smart. I just don't think it's a logical long-term idea, in that if you have your own playoff, well, then you're going to insulate yourself further during the regular season. So maybe you go to like a 10-game conference schedule instead of 8, and you still play a couple non-conference games, or maybe you don't play any. Maybe you just play completely SEC all year, have your own playoff. Whoever wins, you say, we're the best team in the country. We're the best conference in the country. We're great. But that kind of limits your appeal to the rest of the country. Like, the reason the college football playoff is such a prized television asset that brings in so much money is because the entire country cares. And that's why they want to expand it, because they want to keep the interest national. So the Big Ten fans, ACC fans, Big 12 fans, Pac-12 fans, everybody has a reason to keep watching because your team can get to the college football playoff. If the SEC is having its own playoff, why will anybody outside the SEC footprint continue to care? Like, if you're a Nebraska fan, what do you care if who's winning the SEC playoff? Your team's not eligible to be in it. Why would you pay any attention to it? So I think you would limit yourself in that way. And then on the other hand, if you insulate yourself, like, you look at it and say, well, we've got so many great programs, and now we're adding Texas and Oklahoma. But if you're only playing each other, somebody's going to have to start losing those games. So maybe a program that's great now, whether it's LSU, Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, Auburn, Alabama, whoever, is dominating now, but maybe they're going to start, instead of going 10-3, they're going to start going 7-5. So you don't really have that same kind of situation now where you are the dominant force in the land. And if you look a decade from now, if they do this, so now you've got a couple great programs, a couple mediocre programs, and you keep touting about how you're the greatest conference in the world, but you have no evidence to back it up because you haven't been playing anybody else. And I think that the ego of the SEC, I think if they think about it long term, they don't want to give that up. They want to be able to keep saying that they're the best in the country, and the only way they can prove that is by playing teams from outside the SEC.
Tom Fornelli, CBSSports.com. Tom, appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, you got one person to at least slightly buy into.
To what, say, I'm intrigued by year 4
well,
of
but you
put Ryan
Day?
You
put old Ryan right on the old, squarely on the old hot seat.
Oh, would you stop? The lamestream media would have you believe that I said to fire Ryan Day.
No, hey, you just said he's on the hot seat.
I just said I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. Fork in the road year for Mr. Day. And Dabo's,
I think, free. It's more of a fork in the road for Dabo than it is for Ryan Day.
By far. Could not agree with you more.
Ohio State, now Clemson not winning the ACC would be a mild surprise this year. But probably not as big a surprise as Ohio State not winning the Big Ten this year. We'll see.
Yep.
Because Ole Michigan's still hanging out.
They
around
are.
There.
They are.
And they've done themselves pretty good here the last year. Coming up next, it's time for Dumb Debates.
Oh, wow. Dumb Debates. It's already time.
It's already time. for some dumb debates.
I got some Star Wars-related dumb debates questions.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, look forward to that. I'm sure all of you Star Wars fans will be looking forward to that. Jed, especially, be looking forward to
Stibbs,
that.
Yeah, Stibbs, he texted me. He's like, I'm going to listen. I love Star Wars.
I know he does.
Mm-hmm.
We already have given away our grill today, but tomorrow we're giving away a griddle, and we'll give away another grill on Friday.
Wow.
And we're playing a game of the day, but you can also win on Sharp and Benning. You can win on Connor Happer. So be listening for your chance to win either a grill or a griddle.
Awesome.
With the special games on each of our shows, 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.